Today's reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Familiar words. If you want to follow in the church Bibles, you'll find them on page number 1026. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26 and reading to the end of verse 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Today is the third Sunday in Advent. We've got one more Sunday before Christmas. And our focus today is on Mary, the Mother of God. Mary who bore Jesus. And I think there is always the temptation when it comes to the way we think about Mary to put her on a pedestal, you know, to think of her as unique, as one of the heroes of the faith, someone to aspire to. She was the one who agreed to all that was being asked of her, which was no small thing, but she did it in simple trust, and she did it with the words, "I am the Lord's servant." And so the temptation for us is to always think of her in those terms. And yet, when you look into her life a bit more, and there's lots of glimpses of her life scattered throughout the pages of the Gospel, when you look into her life, you find that she's a bit more complicated than that. Yes, she was very brave, but she was also very human. And her actual journey of faith seems to go through various stages. In fact, in my own mind, there's not just one Mary, there are four Marys. All of whom were the same Mary, if you're still with me. So this morning, we're going to do a whistle-stop tour of her life, and we'll see how her faith changes and grows and comes full circle. And we'll see if there are stages in our own journeys of faith that we can identify with in the life of Mary. So that's our plan for today. Let's dim those lights, because I've got some pictures to show you. The first stage in Mary's journey is what I call her heroic phase, and it's characterized by obedience and trust, and it's tinged with wonder. She's the young girl of this morning's reading. The young girl from Nazareth who she was engaged to be married to someone called Joseph. She was all set for a settled life as the wife of the village carpenter, and then suddenly her life gets turned upside down. An angel appears and tells her that she's chosen to bear a baby who's the Son of God, who will be the long-awaited Savior of the people, who will be whose kingdom will never end. This is just a young girl. And so we can share with her her emotional journeys. She goes from fear to astonishment, to wonder. "Who am I that God has chosen me for this honor?" she says. "Who am I that God has chosen me to be part of his great plan for redeeming the world?" And when you actually look through the Gospels, you'll see similar reactions all the way down the line. You'll see lots of different people who are surprised. And they say, who am I that God has chosen me to be part of his plans? The disciples, Jesus says to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Who am I that God has chosen me to be part of his great plans? In fact, it's a feeling that I can remember myself when I first became a Christian. And is it not a feeling that we've all known? That combined sense of wonder and privilege, of excitement and expectation as we feel God's call upon our lives. That sense of knowing that nothing is impossible for God and I'm going to be part of his plans. We know the next few years for Mary are just total roller coaster. The angel's words are confirmed when she goes to see Elizabeth. Elizabeth's child leaps in her womb at joy. Mary is pregnant. Joseph has a dream. So Joseph comes alongside her now. The journey to Bethlehem. The birth in a stable. The visit of the shepherds. The visit of the wise men. The flight to Egypt. Egypt is the big smoke. It's the big metropolis. Different culture, different language. Just a young girl from Nazareth. And that eventually is where they return to after they're told in a dream that it's safe to go there. So it's a complete roller coaster. And all the time guided by visions and dreams. Hardly the life that Mary had grown up to expect. But full of wonder all the same. Who am I that God has chosen me to be part of his plans for the world? Is that where you are today? If you are there, then it's just a wonderful feeling to have. It's something to be treasured. Who am I? Next comes what I'd call Mary's down-to-earth phase, where she's trying to get back control of her life. And the life of her family. It's characterized by realism. It's characterized by a concern that Jesus fit in and that the family life be a bit more normal. It's when Mary's a wee bit older and when she has other children to look after now. And the heroic deeds of her youth are behind her. Yes, it all happened. And yes, it was amazing and exciting and even dangerous at times. And yes, she knows that Jesus is special, but they've settled down now and they need to build a life for themselves. I think we see this phase most clearly illustrated when Jesus has begun his own ministry and when he's left Nazareth and when the crowds are beginning to follow him. And the family stays behind in Nazareth. And there, they're just open to all the rumors that are coming. Wow, he's doing amazing things. He's saying amazing things. But there's also other rumors mixed up with those ones. Rumors of how he's fallen out with the religious leaders. And then even more disturbing, rumors that he's lost the plot. That, you know, someone needs to take charge of him. And so in Mark chapter 3, we come to this episode where Mary tries to do just that. It's just Mary by now. All the burden of responsibility is on her shoulders. There's no Joseph anymore. So she comes, she takes Jesus' younger brothers, all grown men, and they all head off to where Jesus is, and they want to take him home. You can see them in the background there. And they arrive at this house, and Jesus is surrounded by crowds, and he's in the middle of teaching them. But instead of going in to join the others, instead of going in to listen to what he's saying, Mary waits outside. And she sends a messenger in because she wants Jesus to come out and join her so that she can take him home. It's as if in her mind, He's still just her son. He's still just her dutiful son. Someone for her to look out for. Someone for her to keep an eye on. Someone for her to guide down the right ways. I mean, she still believes in him, but it's as if she wants him on her terms, not his terms. She wants him to conform to her expectations. And probably just as important in those days, she doesn't want him to make a fool of himself, and she doesn't want him to give the family a bad name. And what about us? It's okay, you can keep the lights down. You can keep the lights down. Oh, is that the sunshine? Whoa. Sorry, I thought you were raising the lights. Whoa, that's amazing. Beg your pardon. But what about us? We are content to believe in Jesus, but are there not times when we want to keep our faith in him a bit more under control? When we want to keep him in a box of our own making, somewhere neat and respectable and where it doesn't impinge too much on our lives. It's still part of our lives, but whoa, let's draw a line around this. And where it's not going to cause too much damage to our standing among our friends and among our neighbors. But of course, you cannot keep God in a box. You cannot keep him contained. If you try, then in the end, you're left with just an empty box. That's all you're left with. He goes. The next stage in Mary's journey is what I would call her committed phase, her faithful phase. It's when she has begun to realize that it's not just a case of fitting Jesus into her life. It's a case of fitting her life into Jesus' plans. It's sort of the other way around. It's about committing to being part of his life, his plans, his mission, his kingdom. It's about realizing that faith in Jesus comes with a cost. And I think this is most clearly demonstrated in John chapter 19, where we find Mary standing at the foot of the cross. She's still with him now. She's not waiting at home anymore. She's with him. But she's standing at the foot of a cross, and she's watching helplessly as her son struggles in his death agonies. And she's remembering those words of prophecy in Luke chapter 2, Simeon's words, that a sword would pierce her heart. This is Mary's faithful face. It's her, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life," phase. She knows this is the way. She realizes that it's not easy. She knows that she's part of something much bigger, something she had always known about, but maybe never fully taken to heart. And that this something, this mission, this plan of Jesus has its challenges and its sacrifices. But it also has its compensations. Because it's there from the cross that Jesus instructs John, his disciple, to look on Mary as his own mother. And he instructs Mary to look on John as her own son. It has its compensations. It means you're part of a bigger family now. And that family has God at its heart. And God loves you. Faith in Jesus is about getting our priorities right. It's about seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness and then discovering, when we do that, that all these other things are added in as well. I hope that's what you've discovered. I hope that's what you've discovered. That following Jesus has its challenges and it does demand sacrifices, but there are wonderful, wonderful compensations. We are part of his family. We share in his kingdom. We rejoice in his love. We are never alone. The final phase in Mary's faith journey is what I call her good news phase. This is when after the dismay of the crucifixion, and then the wonder and the joy of the resurrection, Mary is still there. She's there with her disciples. She's now been joined by her other sons. They're there as well. And they're all waiting and praying expectantly in the upper room. It's as if her faith has now come full circle. She's back to the Mary who says, "For God, all things are possible," because she's seen with her own eyes him being raised from the dead. So she's not the sort of young, unworldly Mary that we first met. She is now a worldly Mary, but she's still got that amazing sense of, wow, I am part of God's plans. This is real. And she's there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes. And she witnesses firsthand the spread of the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. She's there. She's part of it all. And the reason I call her Mary the good news bringer or Mary the evangelist is because all those things that she has seen and experienced since she was a teenager, all those things about Jesus, all those things she has treasured in her heart, she now shares. She shares with the disciples, she shares with the early church, she shares with the world. And they've come down to us today. In the words of the Gospels, things that we celebrate, especially at Christmas, things that without Mary we would never have known. Without Mary we would never have had that reading this morning. That was something she treasured in her heart and has become part of our traditions. Mary the evangelist. Mary who treasures things in her heart but then shares them freely. So there we have it. We have the four Marys, the heroic Mary, the down-to-earth Mary, who's a wee bit trying to control things, the faithful Mary, who's realized that she can't control things, but she's faithful all the same, and then the full circle. Who am I that God would choose me to be part of his plans, Mary? The gospel-sharing Mary. Which one of these can you identify with today? Which one of these are you now? Or maybe you're a mixture of all of them. And what is God saying to you about this as we make this journey through Advent towards Christmas? What are you going to do about it? Listen to these words of Francis of Assisi. We are the mother of Christ when we carry him in our heart by love and a pure and sincere conscience. And we give birth to him through our holy works, which ought to shine on others by our example. In other words, when you leave here today and when you go out into a world which, let's be honest, is feeling a bit confused just now, what with all the stuff happening on Thursday, and there's this mixture of hope and despair, and then you add into that the mixture of all the stuff that happens in December with excess and debt and all that sort of stuff that's going. When we go out into this world, what will we be carrying with us? What wisdom will we be offering? What are the things that someone out there might need to hear just now? Or might need to experience just now? That unless we share those things with them, they will never hear them, they will never experience, they will never know. Are you willing to be a carrier of the gospel today? If you are, remember those words of promise. God never asks us to do anything that we can't do. And he always promises to help us because he's with us. Shall we pray? We thank you, Father, for the example of Mary's faith. We thank you for those different stages our faith went through, stages we can all identify with. We thank you that it came full circle in the end. Who am I that God would choose me to be part of his plans? And we thank you that as followers of Jesus, we have all felt your call upon our lives. And yes, our journey has been full of ups and downs as well. Maybe not quite as dramatic, but ups and downs all the same. But you've been with us, and you will be with us, whatever the future holds. So grant us the same spirit that you gave to Mary, spirit of tenacity, a spirit of joy, a spirit of willing service to the King of Kings. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.